in the Shopiverse, the Shopify world, there's Shop App, this app that I think is slept on. I think it is this fabulous opportunity that a lot of Shopify store owners don't necessarily realize is already out there doing work for them. Is making their store available in this native app that is really quite convenient. You know, when I place an order on a Shopify store, often at the end it'll say, "Hey, did you want to track your order with Shop?" And that's how they hook you. This app is free. It does a really good job of tracking deliveries. But then once you're in it, oh, you could start seeing offers from stores. And I just logged into it and looked, and I saw, I think every abandoned cart I ever had showed up in this app from Shopify stores. They sync this stuff. And the other neat trick we do with it is it'll collect reviews for you. And then we sync those back into our Shopify online stores through, you know, whatever reviews app that store may use. And so the Shop app is out there, and you're just like out of the box by default doing all these wonderful things for your store. I wish more people would play with it. And it just got even better, right? In the Shopify universe, we love, for the online store especially, we love our apps. You know, the average online store could have 30, 40 apps in it. It was just wild. Point of sale, you can extend it with apps. Well, Shop app, you can extend that with apps too, and they're called Shop Minis. And I just played with a Shop Mini for the first time about 2 minutes ago. And I am joined by a gentleman, Bill Staley from Food Social, who built the first Shop Mini to launch. So Bill, I'm going to pick your brain about this. You're going to teach us about Shop Minis. All right, number one, tell us about what yours does. What is Food Social as a Shop Mini?
So we didn't set out to build the first one. We just wanted to be a part of this new wave of consumer-facing minis. So to sort of contextualize this, the previous generation of minis were more B2B. And so our own market, Food Social, stepping even further back, Food Social is a recipe sharing platform for creators and brands. We host over 10,000 recipes from hundreds of creators and brands, food brands. And it's a great home for these creators to share their content. So recipes, posts, meal plans, it's all shoppable to these brands in our ecosystem too. And so we run our brand architecture through Shopify. So brands can join in under 5 minutes if they're really good. And that's actually using Shopify's Collective technology, which I also really love.
I enjoy Collective. We just set it up this week for a store.
Collective is so cool. And I could do a whole episode on Collective too.
All right. But Collective is not Shop Minis. All right. Focus. Shop Minis.
So it's a home for creators and brands. And the home cook gets to take them through the whole funnel from recipe discovery all the way to product purchase. So that's our ecosystem. We have a dedicated app, a website, and we're really aiming to be this source content home for the recipe creators because it's a lot of work to make a recipe and share it. And so
let me stop you there. We've worked with enough food brands to know that those recipes are table stakes if you're in that space. It makes such amazing, highly relevant, applicable, successful organic content. Just blog posts, a Shopify online store blog called Recipes with Recipes that then link to your products and let you showcase, you know, your ingredients or, you know, whatever it is that you sell that's related to the recipe. So I am big believer in recipes as content.
Exactly. And a lot of brands really like working with creators and influencers because they do such a nice job of creating authentic content that helps the home cook really connect to the product and like use cases. So we've essentially built a lightweight version of Food Social that works within shops, within the Shop app as a mini. And so what our mini does is it brings over 10,000 recipes from our library from creators as shoppable recipes that then the users on Shop can browse, they can save, they can shop them. And really what we've aimed to do is not just bring this robust content library into Shop, but also to work alongside Shop's product team to deliver on their three big goals. And one of them is product catalog inclusion. The second one is it's personalization with the product catalog and your purchase history. And the third one is something that reinforces the daily habit, of using the Shop app. But recipes do that naturally. You can, yeah. You'll find
turns
a recipe.
Out I have to eat every day.
Yeah, yeah. And uniquely, so of all the creative things out there, food is the one that touches all five senses. And so you can consume recipe content by looking at it, but to truly appreciate it, you need to make it and you need products and ingredients with it too. And so recipes are actually such a unique creative content type in the commerce ecosystem. So that's where we come in, where we've built this mini that consumers can connect with and check out recipes that they can then, they'll be served recipes based on their browsing and purchasing history. They'll be able to see timely content. So right now we have a lot of Thanksgiving content on the mini. We also have an immersive video feed. It's not launched today, but by the time the show goes live, it will be. So we'll talk about it in present tense.
I did see the Thanksgiving content, though, right?
Yeah.
We're recording, you know, right before Thanksgiving. And sure enough, it was like, hey, here's some recipes. And immediately I was like, oh, a couple of these look pretty good. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about it. We're eating out this year.
Yeah. The food is so interesting to me just in general, because we all eat. It's this thing. It's on the back of my shirt. I won't turn around. But the love of food connects all of us. And it's much like music. I think music and food are next door neighbors. But food, you can connect to previous experiences, places, people, by just thinking about certain types of food. And I think everybody can do that. I can picture eating cookie dough out of the mixer bowl in my parents' kitchen when I was a little kid.
Do you, in this, so for the Shop Minis, do you have a sense of the scale of Shop App? Like, yeah. I'm sure we could figure out how many users are there, but, you know, from your perspective, like seeing installs or usage,
right?
What's your sense of scale here?
Sure. So Shop claims hundreds of millions of users on the app. So that's the addressable.
That's a lot.
User base. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And you could make some assumptions about what percentage of that would be people who are interested in food or recipes. And it's probably a large portion because we all eat. But to qualify this, they're still in pre-release. So we were the first. They haven't even really announced it or rolled it out yet. None of this mini content is in the home feed on the app. So it's really only discoverable. And we just walked through this together. If you click on the magnifying glass, so the search icon, or categories at the top, those are the two places that you can find these new minis, but it's still pre-release. So we're very excited about the upside potential here. I mean, there's a huge addressable market of people in the Shop app that could see and shop and enjoy this content.
And you said it does personalization. So it's like, as an example, I've bought a lot of seasonings online from Shopify stores. I enjoy fun seasonings, you know, like my friend Casey Bards at Tacticalories. And, you know, how does that personalization work? Is it like, you know, I have to opt, how is the merchant, you know, what am I doing to take advantage of this?
Yeah, it does it for you. So there are hooks for products that you've browsed and products that you've purchased. And what we do is we access the library of products and then make recipe recommendations based on what you've looked at. So if you've looked at salt or vanilla or olive oil, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of recipes that you can then make with that type of product. And it's interesting, right? Because you have some products are hyper specific, like you might have a barbecue rub that has a very specific flavor profile. Or you might have something that's more of a generic ingredient, like an olive oil or a salt. So we can do both of those things with the way that we match content to ingredients and products in their universe.
Are people opting into this, or are you just grabbing, you're surfacing the products?
Yeah, right now we're surfacing recipe content based on their searching history. And so in this pre-release world, we have Food Social has 4,500 products in its market. And we're doing the recipe serving based on browsing in the mini. But the long-term potential here is so cool is we'll be able to do the entire Shop product catalog and make correlations of recipes based on your purchasing and browsing history. So that The opportunity.
Do we know how many products are included in the catalog? It has to be massive.
It is massive. I don't have a number, but Shopify has done such a great job with their classification taxonomy so that we can drill down and make product association based on how they have products categorized. So we're still in the very early phases of exploring that, but that's one of the real opportunities, is going big and broad in the shop app.
And then the only thing that, you know, I can imagine someone potentially pushing back on, not that I know, you know, why you would, more eyeballs is more eyeballs, but, you know, like, oh no, I don't want my products, you know, being showcased with someone else's, as though that's not how like all marketplaces work.
Yeah.
But that, like, I can hear it, you know, that would be the pushback on it.
I've heard it. And I think that it's a really interesting challenge, right? There's the challenge of competition among brands that are similar, especially with the generic type products. And then there's also the challenge that we have yet to tackle of the matching, and the creators of the recipes really care about that. It's actually a sticking point with other solutions out there, where if they have a recipe and their ad network or something else is serving a product that is a mismatch, they get really upset. And I'm a creator. I've been a creator for 15 years, which is how I came to doing all this. We really care about that. We want the match to be good because we want the recipe to be executed.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. If they don't have a good experience,
right,
you know, with the end result, it's not going to be a good time for anybody. At what point does anyone pay for this? Right. Like, what's the cost?
Yeah. Well, the economic engine is people shopping through these recipes on the mini. And I think each mini is developing its own use case. But I think, you know, for us, we're very early into this arrangement. And so it's a little bit unclear over time how this is monetized in a long-term sustainable way, but people are buying things through these recipes. And so there's a path to that.
And you mentioned that you use, well, if they're buying through the recipes, I imagine it like ends up being revenue share would be my guess, or you do like per cost, or like, you know, flat rate, like 99 cents, you know, per referral. I don't know. I'm spitballing. So and you mentioned you're using Shopify Collective. I don't understand how. Like, and where does that fit in the workflow here?
Yeah. So to step back, our platform, our web platform with our app, we host these same recipes. And that's a real efficiency for the creators, because they share it once and then we help them distribute it out. It's a big pain point for them. The brands then, our market, plugs in to these recipes. And so we've built custom code that does that. And we're leveraging Shopify's Collective technology. So we do a combination of, and they're constantly evolving their product too, Collective. But we'll go out and look for brands that we know creators will be excited about, where, you know, they fit nicely into recipes, or they're trendy, or some combination thereof. And we invite them to be a part of our platform and our market. And it's joining the market is just like the first dimension that brands typically grasp. But to really drink the Kool-Aid of food social and where everything in this industry is going in general, is it's all about community. And so what we talked about before is that the brands, the recipes are a key for them. But if they don't have somebody in-house developing them, they're going to want to use creators or some sort of creative agency to make these recipes. And so the brands want to work with creators, and that sense of community where everybody is working together towards this common goal is where the brands really end up buying into this. So Collective has been a great mechanism for search and discovery, and for them to join and get their product catalog integrated like that. It pulls in their pricing dynamically, their product details, their images, all that stuff. And so it's very, very easy for them to join. And we use it. It's a fantastic tool for us to grow. We added 150 brands in the last 12 months to our market.
I imagine, like, approaching creators, dealing with creators, the resistance is going to be, oh no, another platform, right? Like, adding another channel is it more, you're essentially saying, like, here is additional homework for you, sir. So, like, And I get you're saying you're also like, well, here's the beneficial outcome. You know, what's the thing that gets them over that hurdle of, oh, another thing to do?
Yeah. And you're right. And I've heard them all. You know, the other one that I hear often from like legacy bloggers is, I can't have my recipe anywhere other than my blog. But we're collectively going towards this future where everything is available to everyone everywhere, right? Like all the time.
This idea of like, if you put the content on the web,
yeah,
give up the idea of any kind of exclusivity.
Yeah.
Right? Like it is out there. It is now. And even if it's not exclusive, like, okay, you're going to go track all that down and then enforce, you know, your IP. Good luck, you know, have fun wasting time and money.
Yeah. There's so many pain points there for the creators, but the main ones are, the first, running a blog is actually quite hard. So we solve tech. They can operate their food social profile just like a blog. It hosts their recipes with the appropriate micro formatting and SEO, posts, collections, just like Pinterest, all sorts of content types. So they don't have to think about tech. It also solves monetization for them too. So we provide monetization channels for them to earn from their recipes. And it's something we're fine tuning over time, but that content has such a high value to the home cook and to the brands. And so we help the creators monetize. And it's also such an isolating experience being a creator on your own, where you're in your kitchen, you're making things on your own, you're on your phone, on your own. Putting people together in a community is actually such a valuable thing to these creators. We hear it all the time. So it's not just a platform, but it's a community where we have weekly happy hours. We have calls where creators and brands can meet and work together. We have campaigns where the creators can receive the products from the brands and make recipes that the brands freaking love. And it's community is a great buzzword, but without demonstrating the tangible effects of community, then it's just like a trendy buzzword that you're using it. But it's something we're actually doing and a really valuable piece of our strategy.
No, that community helps. It's certainly like with word of mouth, with driving adoption.
Right.
So if I'm, you know, I'm an existing brand on Shopify and I have recipes already as part of, you know, my content marketing strategy, how do I get those into the Food Social Shop Mini?
Yeah, you can bring them. That's the great thing about what we're doing is that brands and creators are very similar. And creators are brands in a way too. They have their own businesses. It's just that many don't have their own products. But brands have profiles on Food Social just like creators do that host their recipe content, their product catalog. And so brands can bring in those recipes too. We have very pain-free ways to import recipes. So again, that's one of the parts that's so hard about recipe creation is it's loading it to multiple places is such a pain. And so we actually have tools where you can just import your library. And many of these brands do. They know that increasing their recipe distribution increases their shoppable content density across the ecosystem. And so brands...
Yeah, I want as large a footprint as I can. Give me more surfaces. Like once I've made that content, let's go ahead and put that everywhere that will take it.
Brands are more flexible and savvy around recipe distribution than creators are. And so we'll see the sophistication of creators around that idea come up. And we do see that come up. But brands know that the more places my stuff is, especially shoppable, the better.
So with tell me about your experience developing a Shop Mini compared to some of your other, you know, development experience.
Yeah.
Hard, easy. Impressive, painful.
I'll relay what our developers said because I'm not a developer, but we were lucky because they were changing their coding language, and I don't know how much I should talk about that, but they've made it highly accessible to developers. They have a very robust SDK, software developer kit, and it was actually pretty easy for us to build this, and our contact at Shopify, his name's David Hoffman. They're all about making this easy for developers to adopt this coding language and build things, to rapidly iterate, to rapidly ship things. And it certainly looked true on our end too. It was not a heavy lift for us to build this mini, and we've built a pretty robust one. The one thing that we had to our benefit was that it was a coding language that our developer knew well, and the app that we had built a year ago was also based on that language. And so there's a little bit of a mutual benefit there too, where now this cutting edge stuff that we've built for our mini is giving us food for thought for what we have on our platform as well too.
It's good. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm not surprised. The Shopify developer experience is, you know, always really top notch, and they go out of their way to, you know, make it pleasant, to make it fun for developers to work with, and have always iterated quickly. Really, like, that would be, you know, the sole pain point with it is it moves so quickly, is, you know, things change. And so sometimes it's like, all right, you know, things moved around, but that's good. You know, I don't want it to be static. If I log in after 6 months and things look exactly the same, that's probably not a great sign for my platform. So I'm happy to see those changes occur, but yeah, you got to keep up with it.
Yeah. We take a very much a startup mindset because we are a startup. And so exactly like what you said, if things are the same in 6 months from now, something is maybe going wrong. So you want to be continually improving, being data driven about the decision making, that especially around commerce and conversion rate, you have to be data driven about what you're doing. Otherwise, you're just a hobbyist about it.
So where do you go from here? Well, what's next for Food Social? You know, your Shop Mini. I'm sure you've got a feature roadmap in development.
We do, and a little bit of it is crystal ball, but the one that we're working on right now is we're already prototyping what this content could look like in Shop's main feed. And that's a big goal of ours, is to make sure that content gets distributed in the main app too. And it ought to be, because the content, and this, I'm not involved in product strategy on Shopify's side, but if I were Shopify, I would look at it and say, I've got this 200 million plus consumer audience, and I see what's going on places like Instagram and TikTok with social shopping. Let's look at the intentionality of who's on those platforms. I go on Instagram, and not so much TikTok, but I go on those platforms to be entertained and to kill a little bit of time. And they try selling something to me. Shop has this amazing opportunity to convert shoppers into people that are being entertained by shoppable content.
That is a clever way to look at it.
I'm so excited. I like get goosebumps when I think about it, because that consumer mindset of going from the app icon on your phone to the actions you're taking within the app are wildly different. I open the Amazon app and I think one thing. I open the Shop app and I think, you know, Shop Cash and perks and tracking products and see. And now it's going to be seeing really cool shoppable content of all different types that I can then act on too. And so for the product roadmap, it is being at that bleeding edge and working in conjunction with their team on how we can best serve this broader consumer audience in the Shop app, and bring this incredible, cool content to these consumers that may not even know that they're looking for this type of stuff. But we want to delight them with these recipes that feel like handpicked or very perceptive about their, that align with what their shopping habits are.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, with the Shop app, thinking about it, it's like it competes with, for sure, it competes with Amazon, right? Like, I've got this huge catalog of products at various sellers, and I could look through it. It also has it has utility, it has convenience where, you know, I could track all my orders in there. Of course, the bonuses of like this really tight integration with the Shopify online store platform. That's what gets the use for me, right? Is like deliveries and notifications and tracking. And but then now we're going to add entertainment to it, content, edutainment, you know, some of this stuff. And that's interesting. It's like, oh, now essentially you're handing me a hybrid between, you know, Amazon, Instagram, and, or like, you know, TikTok, and my deliveries app that I like, right?
That's exactly the way I view it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But you're coming at it from the mindset of consumer first, which I think is of incredible benefit to the brands. The brands currently, and not just in food, all brands, they're trying to backdoor it on platforms like Instagram and TikTok, where they're trying to persuade an entertainment audience to buy something.
And right. I think it's a kind of interruption marketing.
Interruption marketing. That's right. But this same person who wants to be entertained on those platforms also is a shopper, and they're using Shop and Amazon and other platforms to do that shopping. And so they want
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's about the intent.
It's about the intent. And that's where I get really excited about the opportunity.
You're right. Pairing those things with a different intent. Oh, suddenly this is a very different animal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And with that, you know, just the size of that audience, huge potential here. Huge. All right. You got me excited about Shop again.
Yeah. It's cool.
Anything else? What's your, you know, where can we learn more? What's your site?
Yeah. So you can find Food Social on all the main social channels where it's very hard to reach, very hard to reach you, but you can also download the Food Social app for free in both the iOS and Android store, and check out the Food Social Mini on the Shop app. Use it. You can save your favorites on there. You can shop them. And I love hearing feedback from brands, creators, and consumers. And so I always welcome emails. You can just reach me at bill@foodsocial.io. Send me an email. I want to hear from you.
That's great. Bill, Food Social, thank you so much.